Okay, we are recording. You guys are on.
Are we broadcasting too? All right. All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Culk. It is Monday, December 2nd, approximately 10 a.m. Apologize for the cold. I woke up with a cold this morning. That's just the way it goes. The work session today is for four different case numbers. Case number PU 13-706, 707, 708, 742, and 743. Basically dealing with a whole slew of ADPs for wind farms in different areas. Some are power purchase agreements. Some will be owned by XL Energy, doing business as NSP. And so that's the genesis of the work session. I just caution myself as well as everyone else. I know we've got the following work session on the gas ADPs. So we'll try to, council's already advised me to keep our discussion as best we can on the wind, correct, Mitch? Even though it'll no doubt filter over at some point in time.
Correct. I mean, we did take notice of the records, but if we get into something that's not properly noticed,
You'll let us know. Okay. I don't have any other opening comments other than I'd open it up to my colleagues if they had anything, and we'll get to it.
I have no opening comments.
All right. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't either.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'll get rolling because it is my portfolio on the ADPs. We held the hearings on this some time ago, and I asked for the letter to, you know, basically consider information from one case to the other. After having the rate case hearings, after having the gas hearings we just finished last week, and actually after having these, I see no reason to not approve these ADPs. I have a concern about the interconnection. I'd like to make sure we have something in there for a little protection if the interconnection costs go too high. And I'd like to make sure we have the same kind of protections in there that so we don't have what happened in Big Stone 2. We've tightened up the language in ADPs quite a bit. But I guess that's where I'm at right now, and I'd be curious of any thoughts from council or my colleagues, and we'll plow forward.
I don't know. Basically, what we've got right now in front of us, we've got two proposed findings. One is the company's, one is the advocacy staff's. They're, other than some language changes and some deletions, substantively, they're basically the same, except for advocacy staff is recommending not to have an ADP for the Pleasant Valley wind farm to be owned and operated by NSP in Minnesota. So that's kind of where we stand. Jerry, do you have anything to add?
No, I have the staff file theirs with lined out language. If you want to go through it, we can. Otherwise, if you just give direction, I can go through it and make adjustments and just distribute it.
Do you guys have a copy of it?
I have the extras draft? If you need it.
Yeah, I don't think I got it, but maybe it was an email of a while ago. So I would like to go through it. I think that would be helpful. My one question relates to the Pleasant Valley. I know that was the staff's, advocacy staff's recommendation was to not provide the ADP on that particular project. I wondered if my colleagues had any thoughts on that issue.
Well, I just thought that it was staff making a recommendation that a commissioner should be making. If the commissioner wanted to compromise, they could do that themselves. But I didn't see a lot of reason to not approve it with the other suite.
I tend to fall more in line with the advocacy staff's recommendation on with the exception of even tipping a little bit the other way. They had recommended approval of Courtney and O'Dell kind of for one set of reasons, based on the fact that they just seen less risk there. And then Border Winds, as I read the testimony that I have on the page in front of me and recall the essence of it, it was almost, I think primarily because it was in North Dakota and the presumption. And when I think of the unknown transmission costs, I'm not sure that is not a rebuttable presumption. So I guess I'm more inclined to just be supportive of the Courtney and O'Dell projects.
And Pleasant Valley, what about that one? Did you say that already? What your thoughts were on that?
To not approve.
Okay. Because of what factor on the Pleasant Valley?
Well, that is similar to the Border Winds project and advocacy staff's recommendation that they found those two with just more risk involved. And, you know, if we approve Border Winds, or if we approve Courtney, that already meets what they initially sought to add for wind in the first place. If Odell is added to it too, then it's already significantly more than what they were seeking to approve. And I'm reluctant to just keep adding projects because something's on sale.
Okay, so your thought would be, Randy, that you're concerned about the interconnection for the Border Winds. I get that.
And the risk involved with both Border Winds and Pleasant Valley.
And what would be the risk involved with Pleasant Valley?
Well, so I stated right. Let me just refer to how advocacy staff put it. The extra initial cost of ownership, as opposed to being a contract.
Okay.
As opposed to being a contract like Odell and Courtney.
Mm-hmm. Is there any, if we don't provide ADP for that project, and then it doesn't preclude our customers from benefiting from it if it turns out well? I was talking through this, right? Because they could still go ahead with it, and likely will, and then they'll come back and
flow it through the fuel cost.
Flow it through anyway, in which case we could deny it then. I'm just wondering mechanically how would that play out, if any, Jerry, if you have any thoughts on that.
I can only guess what I think would happen. I mean, if you decline the ADP, you're not telling them they can't build it.
Right.
You're just declining to give them an advanced determination of prudence for it, or build by it, I mean. And so if then they go ahead and buy it anyway, which... I think they probably would. They would be able to run the cost through the fuel cost adjustment for the purchases, unless the commission ordered them not to. And then at that point...
for the purchases, but this one isn't owned.
Yeah, you're right. I guess being owned, there would be some discussion or something that would have to occur to run it through the fuel cost adjustment on that kind of a basis. I think the regular treatment for that would be to put it in rate base.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would be the depreciation expense on it. There really wouldn't be a fuel cost associated with it. They run for pretty much for free. But in the past, there has been an equating of these capital costs to a kilowatt hour charge that has become kind of the way that it's thought of. So I guess we'd have to have some discussion on cost recovery.
So if on that own project we denied an advanced determination of prudence, they could potentially come back at a rate case in the future and say, well, we built it, and now we want to have, you know, recover these costs because your customers in North Dakota are benefiting from it, and then we'd see it again?
If it's in rate base, there would be just a return on their investment and then depreciation expenses and then some small amount of operation and maintenance expense. That,
what about the capital costs?
Would be the capital costs, you would just get pay a return on that because that would be in rate base, and then you'd pay the depreciation expenses. So every year there'd be so much depreciation or every month booked into it.
If I could throw a thought in there, the I was involved in the MDU rate case here a while ago where MDU had purchased a wind farm, and it became a really big sticking point in the rate case. And there's something in North Dakota called used and useful. It's very hard, in my opinion, if a company chooses to build something, to give them nothing, because you're going to benefit from that electricity somehow. And so that became front and center in that rate case. So you're kind of put in a pinch the way the law is written, that even if you'd say deny ADP, which we can, and it'd be very hard to then give them nothing at all at some point in time, because the law says if we're benefiting from it, we have to give them something. So then it becomes a discussion in a rate case. So I don't know, Mitch, if you want to chime in any more on that, but that was you didn't do the MDU rate case, did you?
No.
But you and I have talked about this before.
Well, just the effect of ADP, it just provides certainty of recovery in rates until such time as, I mean, if we grant ADP, the company's entitled to certain recovery of rates up until such time as the commission may change that order. So it's a certainty built into the law. It doesn't mean they can't build it. It's not approving the project. It's saying it's what the law is really designed to do is prevent Monday morning quarterbacking, so to speak, by saying, look, the company's in here with the information they have at hand. You look at it at this time also and tell us if you think it's prudent.
But I was fast-forwarding to that. You get back into a rate case at some point in time.
And if it's...
It's very hard to not approve something because of the used and useful law.
Yeah, if it's denied and they build it anyway and it's, you know, without some other additional basis or something to deny recovery of it, it's just something that'll be addressed later down the road if they build it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Build it or buy it.
I think what the record was showing in the case was that the costs of these were cheaper, or at least as cheap as their fuel costs are running right now for their fossil plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would be somewhat of a savings over just running the plants to run these. And so if you look ahead on a 25-year contract, it acts as a hedge against rising fuel costs on the plants. So that would be the kind of thing that if you get into a rate case, you'd hear those arguments all over again on whether they should be whether it should be improved. Approved in base rates.
You'd have data to prove it or disprove it, though, or we don't have that now. That'd be the big difference.
Well, I think we've got pretty good data showing it right now. But, you know, we're forecasting what fuel costs are going to be and things like that that we're not certain of. And so that uncertainty counts for something, too.
Do we know with certainty on the Prairie Rose, though? So we know for sure with Odell and Courtney, those are purchases. So it's a contract price set for a certain length of time. And in my opinion, those are prudent, and we should not deny customers from those rates that are we know are going to be, you know, set for 20 years at a very good price. Border Winds is, you know, has some questions. I fall more in line with being in state, you know, the, I forget the term, but
rebuttable
presumption of prudence. And there's still some issues that need to get worked out there that I think there's enough mechanisms in place that would, you know, kick that away if it's not going to happen, the transmission being one of them. So, but the Pleasant Valley, tell me how we know for sure how the costs are going to be, that those are going to be low prices for customers.
They would pay a cost for the project. They're buying it.
Oh, they're buying it.
So they would pay a cost for the project, and they would own it. And then whatever production that it costs after that has to be covered in the purchase price. I mean, you don't pay
a
cost per kilowatt hour afterwards to...
So the one thing that kind of comes to mind with this project that gives me just a little pause is the experience with Prairie Rose, where they sought prudence. We didn't give it to them because it was kind of after the fact, wanted to wait, and it ended up not being as affordable as originally expected. Am I remembering that correctly?
That one was dismissed because it was untimely. They'd already entered into the...
Yeah, I know that, but we've seen it now in the rate case, and it didn't end up being as much of a cost savings as originally projected, if I'm remembering correctly.
You know, I'd have to go back and look at that again.
No, that's correct. In the rate case, they said that it was not cost effective, but we never rendered a decision on the ADP except it was untimely.
Right.
But then in the rate case, it was very much shown out that it was not a good deal.
My point is,
yeah,
we didn't give ADP, and it ended up being perhaps to the benefit of the customers that we didn't approve it ahead of time. Now they'll probably get, but I want to make sure I'm remembering that correctly in terms of price, because I'm not 100% sure I am.
And I'm not either. That's why I said I have to look at it again. But I remember there was some discussion on the fuel cost adjustment, keeping it out of the fuel cost adjustment. Those numbers were confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a question on how it was accounted for then, because you've got free energy if you leave the volumes in and don't put the costs in. And so that's not really right to do either. So I don't know if it wasn't cost effective, or if just the way that we were handling it through the fuel cost adjustment was confusing.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to clarify that.
Prairie Rose was that a PPA or an owned one? It's PPA, isn't it?
I can't even remember that. Right,
I'm pretty sure it's purchased power. I mean, hearings came up with that, it was in relation to Courtney and Odell more than the two that would be owned and operated.
So it was that the price wasn't as good as what we're getting now. Maybe that's the issue. Like, the wind price has gone down, and that would have locked it in at higher. Let's confirm that. Where I'm going is that maybe on the Pleasant Valley project, maybe it'll be prudent, maybe it won't be prudent. But if we didn't approve it now, that would give us time to see how that project develops, and we can look at it in a rate case down the road. So that was my one thought on that, and then the other...
Would you want to limit their ability to recover like we did on the Prairie Rose on the one? If we deny the ADP, would you want to put the extra collar in there that says
no,
they can't?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
I wouldn't, because I think that I wouldn't be denying it because they didn't come back, and because they hadn't asked for it ahead of time, which is, I mean, that was, I was here at that meeting. I wasn't part of the commission, but I would want to say maybe it'll be prudent, maybe it won't. We'll look at it in a rate case and see how it plays out.
You know, you could think of it not really as denying it, but declining to provide an advanced determination
advanced,
on it.
Right. Just a thought, but I would like to look at the Prairie Rose again just a little bit, just to make sure that I'm remembering the factors that caused that to play out in a way that the lack of advanced prudence actually may have benefited the customers. So that's the one thing. And then secondly, on these, staff talked about doing some, having a mechanism, a ratepayer protection mechanism in the order. And I don't know if that's in there or not, but you know, something that would allow, you know, the if the project's benefits to ratepayers outperform expectations, additional benefits are shared with the utility. If it underperforms, additional costs are absorbed to a significant degree, if not entirely, by the utility. So if, you know, and maybe if we had something like that in there, maybe we could give advanced determination prudent for Pleasant Valley 2 with that clause.
What kind of thing are you thinking? I mean, if the wind don't blow like they're supposed to, then too bad they don't get the money, or
I'm not sure how those work out, but the chamber in Minnesota asked for that. I remember Laura McCartan saying they'd be open to that. And so I asked staff and NSP to come up with some sort of mechanism that might work. Oh, here we go.
Okay. So that, were there any other thoughts on Pleasant Valley? So, okay. The how about the border winds, Julie? Where do you fall down on that one? As far as the, I have share your concerns about the interconnection, but where, other than that, what are you thinking about that?
Other than that, I'd be supportive of that project, and with, you know, the understanding that the company has to work out the transmission issues, and it'll go away if they can't.
How do we do that in the, we don't know what the costs are right now.
I think that the company is telling us that they have a number that they've given the Border Winds people, and if they can meet that number, then they're in. If not, they're out. And I don't know what that number is. If it's somewhere in our trade secret information or anything, I'm not sure. Okay, I think it is somewhere in our trade secret.
So how would you craft that in an order? You know, you'd be, once again, use that term collar, it'd be some type of a collar on it, but you, if it's a trade secret, you could, I guess you could put it in the order, but...
We could we could say in our order that that's the deal and not put the number in. And say that that's, we find that an acceptable deal.
And then when they come back at the... rate case, if you will.
Have them report back to us on what actually happened with it. And
okay.
Well, and that's somewhat what's in the proposed order right now, because they're going to have to make a, before they decide whether to go forward with the buying the Border Winds, they need to figure out the interconnection number. And I think it was Laura McCartan who testified, I think it's somewhere around, I mean, the real simplistic view of it was like $40 million if it costs more or less than that to interconnect, then it may or may not be prudent, she was talking about, and that's what we were, when they figure out that number at some point, that's when they'll decide whether to go ahead with the project at all. And what they've got, by both staff and the company, has that when that the final interconnection costs are known, they'll make a filing with the commission of whether they're going to proceed or not proceed with the Border Winds purchase, and then the reasons why.
Okay.
That's kind of the condition in the order right now, so that at that time, you know, we could look in and say, look, they've decided to proceed with it, but they, of course, they're paying too much, so we could take a step back and limit ADP up to that point in time, or say, look, yeah, it still looks like a good deal, proceed forward.
So, Randy, how do you come, I mean, if I make sure I summarize what you were saying before, you're fine with Courtenay and Odell. You're not fine with Pleasant Valley. Then you were not fine with the Border Winds. Based on Julie's comments, I think, would you be able to vote on a motion that says that you would decline making a decision on Pleasant Valley right now? I'm trying to see if we can get you to a yes, or what, or were you going to on Pleasant Valley? If it was such that way, would you be able to support that?
Well, I don't know what the commission's history has been on. Do we usually vote on not doing something? And most things I've been involved with, you either vote on doing something or you don't vote on that. But do we have a vote to not?
We would have to issue an order denying ADP or approving ADP, whichever way it goes, and each commissioner would have to vote on those orders, or one order, depending on how we craft it.
I guess with all of these, I'm still trying to find some balance. You know, in previous case I had talked about, I'm still concerned that, you know, North Dakota's renewable energy objective was 10%. And, you know, proving these were already way above that and going for more, the objective didn't say at least 10%. It said 10%. It said 10%. And so I guess I still have major concerns with all of these. And also, and Mitch can just cut me off if I'm getting too far into the other case, but we did merge the testimony. Salmon had that letter. I worry for the same reason that I think the objective said 10% a few years ago. I worry that our whole system, you know, seems to be built on a desire to satisfy the day. And there's some kind of program available, and so we take advantage of it. And right now, with that advantage, the wind is cheap. And so you add in another farm and another farm and another farm, and at some point, our whole system becomes unsustainable. And, you know, in a long, high heat or extreme cold time. And so, you know, I guess I'd be happy with all these if we were had these things completely merged together and they hinged on a natural gas plant being built, that we knew that we had something that was going to run when we need it, not just when the wind is blowing. And so I guess that was initially my hope, that they would be kind of merged together. But I am just very concerned about us as the regulatory body just always adding another one and another one and another one, and then someday when that happens, throwing up our hands, oh gosh, we sure didn't see this coming.
So does that, I thought you said you're okay with Courtney and Odell in your initial comments. Now I think I heard different.
You know, I'm trying to find some middle ground on this stuff too, you know, and I would hope, and I don't know if we can merge these two together, I'd be pleased to vote for those two based on the recommendation that advocacy staff gave us, and if they were dependent upon at least one of the Hankinson or a Red River Valley gas plant being built, I would in a minute. I would think that's a great compromise. I guess I kind of think that voting for those two that advocacy staff ranked as the safer two investments as opposed to all four of them is kind of a compromise, too, that I probably would be willing to do to avoid having four of them approved off the bat.
Well, let's, and Julie, correct me if you want to talk some more, but let's maybe this is a good point where we, excuse me, go back and see about cleaning up some of the language about the interconnection costs for the border winds. Get Julie her information she's looking for on Pleasant Valley. And basically just, we got a commission meeting Wednesday. We can close this work session and get right into the gas one and then see how that plays itself out. But then we can, I guess what I'm thinking is that answer Commissioner Fedorchak's questions about Pleasant Valley wind, and I'll put together some kind of draft order and staff it to my colleagues on this wind farm, is what I'm thinking. Based on what I've heard today, I kind of know where you two are at. So that's kind of what I would like to do, if that's okay with you two, unless there's something else.
Including the cost sharing, the cost, you know, the protection for ratepayers, some sort of protection
on which one?
On all of them.
On all of them, okay.
I mean, it would just be, yeah, the same type of thing, where ratepayers, if they outperform, they benefit. If they underperform, they don't pay.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, they'll have to figure out what that is, what kind of a mechanism can be put in place, but we talked about it. Several of the Minnesota, the NSP folks said yes, they would be open to that. I don't know what it is either. I'm not a rate designer.
The only thing I would caution that we can take a look at it certainly is just to remember what the application in front of us is, you know, are they prudent? It's ADPs and the PCNN.
But we could put something in there that very strongly words, when you come back in a rate case, here's what we'll be looking for, to your point.
Yeah.
Not directive, prescriptive, but recommending.
Well, if ADP is granted, I mean, by law, I mean, they get certainty of risk or rate recovery for what's granted on ADP until such time as it's taken away. So to me, the rate mechanism, what I'm hearing, and the design, I mean, that's not something that would happen until after it's built. You wouldn't be able to tell whether it overperformed or underperformed until after it's up and running.
Right.
And the ADP is, what they're asking is, it looks like it's prudent at this time. Do you think it's prudent? Then if you do, yes, we recover the cost to build it. There's a difference in timing on those
issues. Well, can't we have something that says, we determine this to be prudent and expect that the company will share revenues that exceed performance with customers, or at some level, you know, customers will not pay beyond what's estimated as their cost in here.
Can't we
look at what they're saying in the trade secret as prices and say you can't go beyond this? We won't. It's not prudent if it isn't. If it's beyond this,
That's what we're doing with the interconnection costs. We're putting a number lid on it.
Those are costs so that they're going to know before they build.
Gotcha. I see your point.
If you're giving a determination of prudence, it seems to me that as proposed is what you're determining prudent. And as proposed includes the price figures that were submitted, or at least a reasonable ballpark of figures anyway.
Well, and this would probably only apply to the owned ones because the other ones are a set price. So maybe we just keep it to the owned.
And if we've got a number that they anticipate paying for the project, we can limit it
to that.
Yeah. To something in, I mean, you know, if it's a dollar over, I don't know if you want to allow them to have a dollar over. But approximately that range, a little flexibility around it.
Well, yeah, let's see what
okay.
we can come up with.
All right, so we can do that. Jerry, let's you and I and sit mm-hmm. down and go through and rough up some of this stuff. If you could take your first whack at what you heard today from us, and then let me know when you're ready, and I'll go through it, and we'll staff it back out. Mitch, does that work for you?
Yeah.
Commissioner?
And, Mr. Chairman, do you envision an order that is on all four units, one order, or do you envision four orders? I mean, to me, these are pretty separable things. There's purchase power in North Dakota, and there's a purchase power in Minnesota, and there's an owned unit in North Dakota and an owned unit in Minnesota. And so to me, they're really four separate applications, but we've dealt with them up to this point always kind of in a group, and so I'm not sure how you invent.
Well, I guess I would say that put together a draft order, and if we have all three of us agree on the draft I propose, I'd put all four together. If all three of us don't agree on it and we need to start pulling certain things out, then I might go that route.
There probably has to be
some methodology.
Separate ones for the owned versus not owned.
Right now, the way we have the proposed orders are all four together. Mm. You know, we can do whatever you want. but my preference would be that we go with that format and see if we can make it work.
Do you just have caveats in there for specific projects if something gets a different treatment?
If you're going to vote differently on things, we can split orders up after we figure out what we're doing.
Can you have caveats within one order that just apply to one project?
Yes.
Okay.
But it'd be tough if let's say you were against one of these, you'd have to vote against all of them.
Right.
Might be the problem. Might be the benefit of breaking them out, that if you like some parts, I think is what I'm thinking. Right. I'm hearing you say that.
Right.
Well, I think right now where we stand, it's probably best to stay with one order, at least while we try to get it. If we work it out and it has to be two orders or three or four, I think that's fine to do once we have some more concrete thoughts.
Yep.
If say, the draft order approves all of them, but Commissioner Crispin wants to only approve two of them, you know, he can concur with the approval of, say, Courtney and Odell and dissent with the approval of Pleasant Valley and Border Winds, if that's the way he wants to go. So I think it's doable in one order, unless it just gets too much back and forth.
How would you vote on something like that? Usually our votes are just yes or no on an order that says everything. How would you vote on yes on part of the order and no on?
They're combined. They each have their own separate application.
Okay.
So they have to stand on their own, and they're also combined so that they can be evaluated together. But you could say, look, I'm for 706, 708, and 707, sorry, but I'm not okay with the 742 and 743 cases. You can agree with parts of the order and disagree with other parts.
It's common to have a dissenting in part.
Yeah.
Then how do you, the signature block, you leave it empty? How do you know in future?
Yeah, that's the question I'm working out. I mean, do you vote no on it completely and then explain in your dissenting opinion that, you know, right. So it's kind of up to you.
Well, let's cross that bridge when we come to it. Let's get this draft put together and we'll see where everybody falls down.
If we end up having to split them up, I mean, well, then that's what we do.
Right. Okay. Commissioner Christman, anything else?
No.
Commissioner Vidorchak?
No.
Mitch, Jerry? Okay, we'll go ahead and close the work session.
So your goal, though, just is to try to get this done for the Wednesday meeting?
Not as in this Wednesday, as in 2 days. I don't think that's doable.
When's our next meeting after that?
The 16th or 17th, I can't remember.
18, oh, okay. 18. So we
got two more commission meetings. If we need to have a special, we sure could. I just don't think it's doable. Unless my thought was today, if we all three agreed, we'd have a motion on Wednesday. I don't think we can get to that by Wednesday. So unless you think we can, I mean, I don't see a I don't see a way to break it all apart to get a chance at a 3-0 vote by Wednesday. I see maybe a 2-1 vote on Wednesday.
With that.
So how about this? I'll get the staff as quickly as we can and we'll go from there.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Yep. And if you can get us a draft to look at, I'm pretty close, but
okay.
All right,
so we'll go ahead and close the work session on case number PU 13706, 707, 708, 742, and 743. Thank you. Do you guys need to take 5 minutes before we go to the next one?
Ready?
Keep
going.
Yeah, I'd like to keep